The start of the fantasy baseball season has been really rough. You've got players dropping like flies due to injury. You got other dudes that are picking up their paycheck with a ski mask on because they have been absolute trash. And that's the group we're going to focus on today. Those guys that are creating a black hole in your fantasy lineup. And we're going to help you decide if it's time to cut bait and kick them to the scrap heap, or if you should just chill and weather the storm. How's it going, everybody? You're here with the Stoned On Sports podcast. My name is Matt. I've got Kyle here with me today, and we've got a great show lined up for you. The aforementioned struggling players, a couple injuries to go over. It's going to be a packed show. Kyle, how's it going?
Man, great. You know, everybody's got, at least one player on their team that has just held them down and not produced in the spot where they drafted them. And it can be frustrating. And yeah, so we're here to help you, hopefully, with some of those guys. Again, well, if we don't cover one of the guys you're interested in talking about, hit us up in the chat. Hit us up in the comments. We'll respond rather promptly. Ready. It's great. Fantasy baseball.
Heck yes.
What do we got about? Most teams got like 23 games played or so. So almost to the 30 mark, first month of the season. Gotta love it.
Yeah, Dubo's we're in the a little chat. Bit past the 10% point.
Yep. Dubo's in the chat. Sup, fellas. Welcome to the
Sup,
show.
Dubo.
Again. Appreciate your support.
Appreciate you joining us.
All right, let's get started. Okay. So, basically, it's a time to panic. Do you gotta hit that red button, that panic button, drop somebody, trade somebody? We're here to help you. First guy we're going to talk about is outfielder Randy Arozarena of the Tampa Bay Rays. He's got 39 fantasy points. He's averaging a whopping 1.8 points per game. Really hard to win matchups when he only gets you, 10, 11, 12 points a week, especially where he was drafted as the 13th outfielder taken off the board. In 23 games so far, he's 13 hits and 95 plate appearances, just one double, two home runs, six RBI, 10 runs scored, eight walks, 27 Ks, got four stolen bases thrown in there as well. Slash does not look good. 149, 221, 230 with an OPS of 451. That's disgusting. The walks, he's walking on average 8.4%, just slightly below his career norm of 9.5%. Strikeout rate, way above MLB average and also above his career average of 25.5. BABIP, not good at all. 190, very poor. MLB average is 293. So when he is hitting the ball, he's hitting it right at mofos. Couple of good things. Hard hit rate, it's good. Almost 44%. It's good for top 33% in the league. Chase rate, also decent. 22.8, good for top 25%. In the majors. Couple bad things. Expected batted average, whiff rate, and strikeout rates are all in the bottom 20% or worst. Now, you may remember last season, as the season went on, he actually dropped some weight during the season, and he said in the offseason that he felt it really affected his game. This offseason, he focused on adding some weight, some muscle. When he arrived at spring training, y'all might have seen some pictures. He was definitely noticeably bulked up when he arrived in February. He's currently 15 pounds heavier than he was last year, which I believe has really slowed down his swing. Watching some of his at bats this season, he's straight up missing on fastballs down the middle. And any changes to your body as an athlete, they're just going to require some time to dial it back in, especially with all the mechanics involved in swinging a baseball bat. I also feel folks are really expecting too much, that he's a great player, don't get me wrong, but he's never scored 100 runs. He's never drove in more than 89. He's never stolen more than 32 or hit more than 23 home runs. Those things are all still in sight, even after shitty 23 games. So I think batting second, batting third, the stats will start to add to pile up soon. If you look at some of his past seasons, he's had a weird career so far. In his three full seasons, he's been in the league, I think, 6 years now, but his first couple of years, he was just up for a few cups of coffee. In his three full seasons he's played so far, he's only been good for half the season. Last year, great first half, abysmal second half. 2021 and 22, both bad first halves, followed by much stronger second half. So maybe this year will be another stronger second half for him. Keep this in mind, too, with him. Each of the last 3 years, he's still been a solid player. He's hit at least 20 home runs. He's stolen at least 20 bases while playing, you know, between 141, 153 games in those three seasons. So I don't think there's a need to panic. He's on a good team. His volatility, yes, has been on, you know, full display this year, but you should be, you know, not dropping him. You could bench him if you have to. I'm still going to roll him out there, but don't drop him. In fact, I would not even entertain dropping him before July.
No, absolutely not. Although you do kind of wish you could get March Randy Arozarena, because sure, since April 1st, he's batting just 116 with one extra base hit and 22 strikeouts. Like, that is just friggin' terrible. But that team, they've been dealing with a lot of injuries, and that's, you know, we're not going to blame that, but they've got some key bats that just have not been there for them. You did mention that, you know, he's a half a season kind of player. He got off to a similarly slow start in 2022. So this isn't really uncharted territory for him. I do like that his chase rate is down early in the season. That coincides with his chase contact rate and really his contact rate across the board. It's not really great. His swinging strike percentage is up to 14%, which is about 3% over league average. And he's really just struggling to make contact in the zone. This is something that's going to work itself out. He's a dude, you're going to be patient. Weather the storm. You may get some people coming along trying to lowball you and buy low on him. Don't take the bait on that. By the end of the season, you're going to be very happy with what you got from him. And I think he's going to return, you know, roughly the value you were expecting from him when you drafted him just a few short weeks ago. So the next one up is somebody who we were not high on coming into the season, really at all. We cautioned you about him, and that's Cody Bellinger of the Chicago Cubs. Right now, he's performing like a mid-range first baseman two, or he's a low-end outfielder four. Definitely not what you were looking for when you drafted him. He's got a triple slash right now, a 222, 319, 407, 727 OPS. Isn't that bad? Four home runs, 15 driven in. He's not stolen a base. He's walked 11 times and struck out 14, and that's across 81 at bats. You like to see the 14.9% strikeout rate. The walk rate is high at 11.7%. His hard contact, below average. It's not news to us. He did that before. 36.8% hard hit rate, average exit velocity at 88.7 mile an hour. And right now he's got a 219 BABIP, which we know that's not going to be the case for the remainder of the season. His contact rate is down. It's sitting at just 76%, which is down 5% from last season. And he's slightly underperforming his expected stats, but just by a hair. You think, all right, well, maybe, you know, that's not too bad until you understand that his expected batting average is in the 33rd percentile and his expected slugging is only in the 66th. His fly ball rate is through the roof, 57.4%, which is 10% higher than his previous career high. And he's pulling the ball at a career high 47% rate. What's that say to us? This is a dude that he's going for some power, right? He's trying to get the home runs because hitting 20 home runs, not that great, but he's put up over 40 before, so we know it's there. He's hit safely in seven straight games with two multi-hit games coming into the week. Some signs of life. But he's also getting killed by fastballs, especially away. Against fastballs, he's batting just 125 with a 271 slugging percentage and a 27.5% whiff rate. Last year, just for comparison's sake, he hit 285 with a 474 slug and a 21.3% whiff rate. He's pressing. He's looking for power. Yes, if you take what he's done so far and extrapolate it out over the season, he's on a 30 home run pace. He's not done that since 2019. Do I think he's going to get to 30 home runs? Probably not. I don't see it happening. We're certainly not going to see a repeat of the 20 stolen bases we saw last year, considering he has zero right now, and just the Cubs as a whole are not running. And anybody who is a Nico Horner manager feels that pain, right?
Sure.
But we're not talking about Nico. He's doing all right. His buddy Cody, not so much. I'm not looking to move on from him. I think he can still be a solid contributor. That's a nice offense to hit in. And we've talked ad nauseum about how Wrigley Field plays in the summer. He's somebody worth holding on to. You're going to weather the storm. I think by the end of the year, I don't think he's going to return value, but I don't think he's going to be that much of a deficit either.
Yeah. There's things to like that. The walk rate, good. The strikeout rate's good. I'm so mad at Craig Council and the Chicago Cubs, because I don't understand why they're not running, but that's an argument for another video. But so baseball is, you know, indeed a hard damn game, right? And Bellinger is really living proof of the ebbs and flows of the game. 2019, y'all know he won that MVP. 3 years after that, after that happened, he was marred with injuries and wasn't producing, and a lot of poor numbers. But how much of this is Scott Boras's fault? I realize Cody Bellinger is a veteran. He knows what it takes to be ready for a season. But when you don't get into spring training, I think he signed the end of February, 27th, 28th, something like that. And even you look at some of Boras's other clients, Blake Snell, Matt Chapman, neither of those guys are really living up to par yet either. So I wonder if it takes a little time. You know, that slash line is pretty lagging, but you mentioned the 7-game hitting streak. He's hitting the ball hard. He's barreling up and he's making contact. So I say hold him. You know, I'm going to start him most weeks on a good Cubs offense. And then that production will come that we're accustomed to seeing.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're in a league that starts 5 outfielders, he is 100% a viable starter.
Sure.
But there are a lot of leagues out there that only start 3. And if you have him at first base, he's barely playable. Corner infield, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Excellent. All right. Let's talk about a pitcher. How about that?
Hell yes.
next up, we got Luis Castillo with the Seattle Mariners. He seems to, as the season's started here, seem to have been one of the more unluckier pitchers through the first few starts. He started 5 games. He's 1-4 and 28 and 2/3 inning with a 4.40 ERA, which has actually come down to that from something way higher in the last few starts. But his whip's a bit high too there at 1.36. Given up 14 earned runs, 5 walks, and he has struck out 36. He's got 44 fantasy points total. He's averaging about 8.8 per game. So over the weekend, or maybe it was yesterday, Monday, I can't remember what day it was, but last week Matt was talking about, you know, can pitchers have a good game at Coors? And they will, but good luck on finding when that would be. Well, Castillo actually figured it out, even in intermittent rain and snow and very cold temps. Saturday versus the Rockies, he shut him out. 7 innings pitched, allowed 2 hits, 1 walk, 9 Ks. That ERA I mentioned, he lowered it from 5.82 to that 4.40. That was the second game in a row. He struck out 9 batters as well. And the game before that wasn't too bad either. Versus the Cubs, gave up 2 earned in 6, but just had no help from the offense and got tagged with another loss. So another promising sign is that he is just striking out as many as batters as he always has. He's at 29% K rate. It's top 20% of the league. Walk rate, very low at 4.1%. You love to see that. He's good for top 13% in the league. The BABIP's a bit high, 392. You know, so some batters are consistently finding holes in the defense behind him. This is one reason I just never, really bought the idea that you needed to sit Castillo until he gave you a reason. He routinely gets batters to chase, as evidenced by his top 15% chase rate. Hard hit slightly above average in hard hit and barrel, but bottom 35% among pitchers in average exit velo. Okay, so last season in March and April, he started hot. Six starts, went 2-0, 34 and two-thirds inning pitched, 1.82 ERA, a sub-1 whip, 28% strikeout rate, 5.9% walk rate. So that's pretty good. He's had other starts, other slow starts in many seasons in the past, and he's just historically been a much better pitcher in June, or in the summer months, I should say, in the warmer months. So ERA for career in March and April is 4.17. May it's 4.45, and then drops to 3.43 and 2.81 in June and July. So let's wait till it warms up a bit. Also, the Mariners, they're kind of starting to get some momentum there themselves, breaking out at the plate with consistency. I think that should help Castillo moving forward. I don't think there's a need to panic him. Three of his five starts were against pretty damn good teams, Cleveland, Chicago Cubs, and the Red Sox, and they're all in the top 12 in runs scored, but he's a hole for me.
Yeah, same here. You kind of touched on this a little bit. Dude's only getting just over three runs of support per start.
Yeah.
Like the Mariners bats have struggled all year. You look at his expected ERA, his FIP and his XFIP, those are all under three. Opponents are batting 288 against him, but that's buoyed by a 392 BABIP that is just not going to continue to be a thing. His spin rate is down about 100 RPMs across the board. So he's not getting as much movement as a result. That doesn't really concern me a whole heck of a lot. I think as the bats there in Seattle start to figure things out, he'll be just fine. I expect him by the end of the year to be a very solid, we'll call it mid SP1. I think he's a we'll call it top 7-8 pitcher.
Absolutely.
So speaking of Colorado, this is another outfielder, and I just so happen to have these two guys on my podcast league team. Talking about Nolan Jones, he has been probably one of the worst players in baseball so far this season. He is barely inside the top 100 outfielders. This dude hasn't gotten a hit since April 15th. He is 0 for 25 with a walk and 10 strikeouts in that span. You look at what he's doing on the year. He's hitting 143 with a 217 on base and a 467 OPS. He's got one home run, drove in six. He has stole two bases. He only has six total extra base hits, eight walks, and 35 strikeouts. That's good for a 38% strikeout rate, which is absolutely no bueno. He is walking around league average. All right, we'll take it. He's somebody that carried a high walk rate through the minors and even last season, but the strikeout rate has always been an issue. When he was in the minors last year, it was, you know, it was evident. He does have better than average heart.
But he had so much shit to offset that bad strikeout rate. I mean, he was clubbing 20 home runs. His average was almost 300. It's just not that same this year so far. Sorry.
Oh, shit. Very astute observation. He's got better than average hard contact. He's in the top 10% in max EV. This year, he's got a 229 BABIP. It was 401 last year. It was high in the minors. He carried a mid-300s BABIP. This is something that really stood out to me. Last year, he hit 273 against lefties, which was actually 12 points better than what he did against right-handers. This season, he's being eaten alive by left-handed pitching, a 100 batting average, and a 182 on base. In general, he does have a pretty good command of the strike zone. He's in the top third in chase rate. He's got a 25% called strike rate, which is up 6% from last season, a 35.7% called plus swinging strike rate. He's not swinging at pitches in the zone. He's at 57.2%, 11% below league average. He increased his zone contact percentage this year over last, but it's still below average. And this is something that really is just baffling to me. He has seen 101 pitches in the heart of the plate this year, and he's watched 43 of them go by. Didn't even swing, didn't offer, nothing, which is 15% more than average. And it kind of makes you wonder whether last season was a mirage, right? You had the 2020 with 20 doubles. Yeah, you had the high BABIP there, but playing in Colorado explains a little bit of it. Plenty of people were high on him coming into this season. They were drinking the Kool-Aid, or well, maybe we'll call it, they were drinking the Jones soda. For me, I'm benching his ass until he figures it out. He is an absolute black hole of death in your lineup right now.
Yeah. He's just not winning his at-bats against pitchers. Anyone? They're pitching him differently and more carefully this season. He also really hasn't gotten shit for protection in the lineup to really combat that. At the start of the season, he was batting third with Brendan Rodgers behind him and Chris Bryant in front of him, both of who also have been off to horrendous starts. Lately, he's been batting fifth or sixth, often between a combination of Montero, Elias Diaz, Brendan Rodgers again, and Brenton Doyle, and nobody even knows who those guys are. So the Rockies are just not good, folks. Yeah, I'm moving on from him. This is not someone I want who was drafted as the number 15th outfielder off the board.
It's a damn sad state of affairs.
It is. All right, sticking with outfielders, headed to Philly. Nick Castellanos. I picked him up and stashed him just to see if he started heating up here soon. Hopefully he does. He's really been nothing short of terrible this year. He's been one of the league's worst hitters through the first few weeks of the season. Definitely comparable to Mr. Jones there. So in 23 games, he's got 16 hits and 90 plate appearances, just 15 singles, one triple, seven RBIs, five runs scored, seven walks with 21 Ks, and zero home runs. That's not what you want to see, especially he hit 29 last year. So it's worth noting, though, he did not hit his first run home run last year until April 22nd, so yesterday. So look for things to happen. Slashing, horrible. 193, 256, 217 with a 472 OPS and a BABIP of 258. Walking at 7.8% of the time, just under the MLB average. Striking out 23% of the time. That's in the bottom 36% of the league. Most of his underlying metrics don't look good either. So, but, you know, it's also unlikely that he has lost the ability to hit, right? That's not going to happen. So hard hit rate, 40.4%, slightly above average. Bottom 40% in exit velo. Max velo, though, 109 mile an hour, top 37% in the league. His expected batting average, slugging, expected slugging, barrel rate, chase rate, and whiff rate are all five of those in the bottom 10% of the league. With some players, we talk about slow starts. You know, you can label them as slow starters. That is really not the case with Castellanos. Last season, first month of the season, slash 313, 369, 509. 2022 in April, slash 300, 374, and 475. And even 2021 was excellent at 305, 347, 611 slugging headed into May in 2021. So last year he had a horrible spell of, I think it was about 21 games in which he slashed 118, 157, 188, and he's still ended the year 276, 311, 476. So with that being said, I'm still not concerned. I think he'll still get plenty of RBI opportunities in that Philly offense. And I think the hot streaks and the cold streaks, they'll kind of balance out by the season's end. So he started poorly. Some owners may, you know, I've already dropped him, maybe considering dropped him, but I still trust him as, you know, a top 50 outfielder for the rest of the season. I think it's a little too early to panic.
Sure. I can dig that. Top 50 outfielder would be quite a bump because he's somewhere in that outfield 115 to 120 range, just kind of depending on your scoring. Mm-hmm. One thing that stood out to me is he is getting killed by breaking and off-speed pitches. Of 46 off-speed pitches he's seen so far this season, he's put 5 in play, which is just pathetic. Kind of like Cody Bellinger, I don't know if this is kind of an intentional change in approach at the plate or what, but his launch angle is up 3 degrees. His fly ball rate is up 10%. He's getting under the ball 40% of the time, which is 16% higher than league average and his career average. His career average is league average. I don't necessarily know it's a change in approach at the plate. That offense is so very, very enticing. I think he's too young for this to be like some kind of age-related decline. I think this is just a really bad slump at the start of the season, and it gets magnified because it's at the start of the season. You know, if he had this 20-game stretch in, you know, the beginning of June, it might not get the attention that it's getting now at the beginning of April because you've got all the eyes on here. And you know, look, it is what it is. I also would not drop him. I also cannot say to start him. I think he's got a firm spot on my bench until I see not just a couple games. I want to see a week. I want to see 10 days of productivity before he's cracking my starting lineup again.
I agree.
So we're going to talk about another pitcher, and this guy has been a kind of popular topic of discussion here lately, and that is Hunter Brown of the Houston Astros. This dude. Just before the season started, he was the number one. He was 172 overall off the board in drafts, right? He is now the 126th overall pitcher. That just kind of tells you how things have been going. This dude has been getting smoked like a Texas brisket. He's given you 4 points per start. He started 5 games. He's got a 968 ERA, a 550 FIP, a 437 XFIP, a 249 WHIP, which is just insane. He's pitched 17 and two thirds. He's given up 32 hits, 19 earned runs, 12 walks, 17 strikeouts, and he's had 3 dongs dropped on him. Now, you can't be that bad without there being some bad luck in there, right? He's got a 475 BABIP, which is just out of this friggin' world. Almost half of all balls put in play result in the batter reaching base safely. The hell out of here. 45.3% hard hit rate. EVs at 91.8 with a 114 max EV. A 29% line drive percentage. But he's only allowed 1 barrel so far this season. And he's got a 50% ground ball rate. 2 of the 3 home runs he's given up have been doubters per Statcast. And there's some bad luck there. And for those that don't know, a doubter is a batted ball that would be a home run in 7 or fewer ballparks. He's coming into the zone more this season, but not with the all-important first pitch. He's getting first pitch strikes just 52% of the time. His fastball is down about 1 mile an hour, which, all right, that's not a huge thing. It's not great, but, you know, you're not freaking out about that. But the problem is there's not a whole lot of horizontal movement with that. And when you only need to track a ball really across one plane instead of two, because the fastball is coming in essentially straight, just dropping a little bit, it makes it so much easier to hit. He's got a low strand rate, too. We talked in the preseason, around 1 in 3 base runners come around to score. Well, with him, it's about 40%. Looking at his game logs, he had 2 terrible starts at Texas and at Kansas City, where he gave up 14 earned runs and just 3 2/3 innings pitched. I think I could probably do a little bit better than that.
Probably not.
But in his other 3 starts, against the Yankees, Atlanta, and at Washington, across 14 innings pitched, he gave up 5 earned, walked 7, struck out 14. That's good for a 3.21 ERA, a 3.21 walks per 9, and a 9 K per 9. You can live with those numbers. I think in shallower leagues, he's a drop if you haven't dropped him already. He is very matchup dependent overall. And if he has another bad start or two, quite frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets moved to the bullpen, especially with all the struggles that that team has had with the pen. If you're in a deeper league, sit him on your bench and play the matchups if you have to. The waiver wire is damn thin with all these injuries. And then you add Then you add on people who have done shitty up until this point, compounded with the injuries. And that means there's probably not much on your waiver wire. Kyle, your thoughts?
I love it. Hunter Brown just really represented a hope for Houston Astros, their farm system, because they just didn't really have much pitching to rely on. And now he's just not performing this year. Or forforming, or whatever word you were trying to say a moment ago. My concern is, you know, he's a righty against same side batters there. He needs a true put away pitch for right-handers. They're right now, they're slashing 462, 533, 718. And all three of those homers you mentioned all came from same side pitching. So, and most of them are just, they're able to sit on something hard, whether it's that four seam fastball or that cutter, and they're finding success. So I drafted him in the podcast league. I dropped him 2 weeks ago and I haven't looked back. So nobody that's going to be on my team.
Did he loud say boy porn? In the comments? Did he say porn? Shit, I might have. I don't know. It's one of them days.
It is. All right. Another pitcher. Jesus Luzardo with the Miami Marlins. Some nice specs he's got there. Been a slow start for the season for him so far. Five games started, 0-2 in 26 innings pitched, to 6.58 ERA and a 1.42 whip, and an awful, just awful FIP of 5.13. He had a start on Saturday the 20th. It was game one of a doubleheader. He got no decision, struck out six, gave up two runs on three hits with three walks. Don't like to see that. I like that he's gone at least five innings in all five of his starts. That's nice. The strikeout rate is good at 24.1%. The walk rate is a bit high at 11.6%. Hard hit rate at 40.3, a bit higher than average. And he is a tick up over last year. Whiff rate, excellent, 30.3%, top 25% in the league. The exit velos, not good. Average is 90 miles an hour. He's bottom 28%. Max 116, bottom 1%. Ugly.
Damn.
His fastball velo, it's 95.9. That's good for top 17% in the league, though it is down a tick from last season, 0.8 miles an hour. Speaking of his fastball, which he throws 44% of the time, he is getting rocked by that pitch so far. It's got a low whiff rate of 14.1%, a hard hit rate of 45.5%, and an expected slugging of 508. And his put-away percentage with that is just 7.8%. Put-away percentage, I don't know if we've talked about that so much. So that's the rate of two strike pitches that result in a strikeout. So when you examine them on like a pitch type basis, they can help, you know, discern what pitch the pitcher is using to finish off hitters and his effectiveness in doing so. Now, I know there's plenty of pitchers with lower whiff rates on fastballs, but he's 5% lower than last season. But a slider and change, still excellent swing and miss on that. I think that's what's kept him somewhat afloat here. Fly ball rate is up over 8% last year, along with the launch angle up to 18.3 degrees versus 14.5 last year. So keep in mind, you got the wear and tear on pitchers' arms and the degrees to which their velocities, their command, the pitch movement can shift, not just from season to season, from fucking start to start. So this is why the talk surrounding his inflated walk rate kind of rings so loudly. Miami's not, as a team, not really doing him any favors either with the low run counts. They've only scored 85 runs on the season, tied for 22nd in the majors. He's scheduled to pitch Friday, home versus the Nationals. That's kind of a nice matchup. you know, I could kind of take him either way, you know, hold, bench, drop, trade. He's on the fence for me. I just don't like the team context that much.
You know, I would absolutely look to acquire Lizardo myself.
Okay.
I think he has the stuff to be an ace. I know the fly ball rate is high, but that stadium down there in Miami can certainly hold the ball in. I love his home ballpark. You talked about the whiff rates on his secondary pitches. Like, dude can strike people out. And he's somebody where, you know, we see the flashes, right? We sure see the glimpse of what can be. He's also, like, his strand rate is super low. Like, it seems like there's some factors conspiring against him beyond his control that are leading to this result. And I don't think it's going to remain that way for the entire season. Right now he's, you know, the SP 63 or whatever you want to call it. I'm buying. I would absolutely buy on him. I think he's going to turn it around and have a fantastic rest of the season. Remember, dude is only 26 years old. He's just now coming into his prime as a pitcher. And that's what I want with me. I would bet on the talent with him as opposed to somebody like Hunter Brown, who we just talked about, who, yeah, you know, you don't really see that elite talent there like you do with Lizardo.
Yeah. Supersonics in the comments real fast. Good thing I didn't bench Cease this week, fellas. Hey, you know, and I think if we phrase that, we, you know, just maybe some pitchers to avoid, or that I think Matt even said, think twice about it. But yeah, he had an excellent game in Colorado yesterday.
That was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. What do you allow? One hit, no walks, which has always been the thing for him, is the free passes.
Yep. I think he struck out eight. So it was a good start for him. So who you got?
So next up. And it seems we just can't go a damn episode without talking about a Cardinal. I'm talking about Cardinals first baseman, Paul Goldschmidt. right now, he is outside the top 24 among first basemen. He's got a 195, 298, 268 triple slash, good for a 566 OPS, two home runs, nine driven in, eight runs scored, 11 walks and 27 strikeouts. Thus far, he only has three multi-hit games. Yesterday was one of them. He also had a home run yesterday. So 30% of his multi-hit games and half his home runs came yesterday. His two home runs are his only extra base hits. And you think, all right, well, you know, how'd he do last year? Last year, he was a damn menace. He started off fantastic, hitting 306 with a 405 on base, 914 OPS, had four home runs, drove in 14, and had as many walks and strikeouts, and he had 10 doubles last year. Really, to me, the only bright spot this year is he's hitting 400 against left-handed pitching. His strikeout percentage is way up, over 28%, higher than it was, 5% higher than it was last year. His walk rate is down to 11.5%, but that's still well above average. I mean, even as you age, like, you still have the eye. His hard hit data is just trash. 30% hard hit rate, 87 mile an hour EV with a 110 max EV. He's got a 264 BABIP, which is almost 100 points below his career average of 346. And dude has just one barrel. He turns 37 in September. I think this is age-related decline, specifically in his bat speed. There was a tweet from Tom Tango. It was a chart showing, like, average bat speed in relation to age. And really, it's pretty flat until you hit about age 31, and then it kind of craters. When we're talking about a dude knocking on a door of 37, that bat speed is slowed way down. And I think we are seeing his attempted adjustment to that in his pull rate. It's at 41.8%, and that's the highest it's been in 12 years, since 2012. Now, we are talking a small sample. He's getting beat by fastballs up and fastballs outside. It might get better. I don't really know by how much, though. The Cardinals, again, have been dealing with a lot of injuries. I think the dude is toast. And like that cheap ass gold chain you got at the mall when you were 18 and you wore it for a while. And now the next thing you know, that gold chain isn't gold no more. Goldie ain't gold no more. Send his ass to the scrap heap. Call it. I'm done. I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And it's really his decline's really eerily reminiscent of what Matt Carpenter did when he was with the Cardinals as well. So Goldschmidt had a difficult spring as well. So perhaps that was a telltale sign of what was to come. So he's just been, you know, unable to come up, come through in the clutch. He's struggling as bad as he possibly can. It's just bad. So it's obvious he's on the decline. He's not quite where he was even last year. So I didn't expect him to struggle this badly. I didn't also see him being 2022 Goldschmidt either, but he's not someone I'm starting. He is still heavily, heavily owned in Yahoo and CBS leagues, both 90% or in the 90%. But yeah, there's people out there that you can get that's going to offer more production than he's given up right now.
Yeah. And by more production, that would really be any production.
Anything. Right. All right. Headed to Pittsburgh. Oh, lost my spot. All right. O'Neill Cruz, shortstop with the Pirates. Going through a little slump here. Started the season hot. Entering play on April 8th, he had a .304 batting average and an .803 OPS through the first 10 games of the season, but a nosedive ever since. So he's only got you 38.5 fantasy points on the year, getting 1.7 a game. He's shortstop number 31 in fantasy right now. So that's piss poor, especially with an ADP of around 48, 49 in draft season. In 23 games, he's got 21 hits and 96 plate appearances, two doubles, three homers, eight RBIs, eight runs, six walks, 37 frickin' strikeouts, and two stolen bases. He's slashing .233, .281, .356 with a .637 OPS. Walk rate at 6.3%. Boom, bottom 25% of the league. K rate, 38.5%. Boom, bottom 1% in the league. Not what you drafted, for sure. He was the 10th overall shortstop in drafts this spring. Now, he did have a nice game yesterday. Monday, he went 3-for-4 with a double, two RBIs against the Brewers. More importantly, he only struck out once after punching out multiple times in seven of his previous 10 games. Something to like, but it's only one game. Like Matt said, string me 10 games of some of that. To see how, you know, for some better optimism. So looking at some of his at bats, he's looked kind of haphazard and uncomfortable when he's hitting. He's being, I think, too passive at the plate as well. He's only scored one run since April 5th. That's 16 fucking games ago. I don't get it. BABIP, .326 is higher than league average, getting some luck. So could you imagine what he'd look like if his BABIP was closer to the average, to the mean? Even worse. So hard hit rate, 49.1%, and average exit velo is 91%, both in the top 15% of the league. He's also up significant amount in both over last year. In fact, the hard hit rate is up a massive 13.1% over last season. I like that. Barrel rate, just above average at 7.5%. Bottom 30% or worse in expected batting average, expected slugging, chase, and whiff rates. Looking at some more batted ball data, he's hitting ground balls at an alarming rate of 60.4%. A lot to do with the launch angle. He's dropped almost 4 degrees versus last season so far, and he's making contact at only 69%, lower than last year. He was expected to be the leadoff batter, but that has fucking derailed while in his slump. So he's been batting plenty at the bottom of the order, including the last three games in the eighth hole. So you remember that he got, y'all remember he got hurt last year. He only played in a handful of games. I think it was only 8 or 9 games from a fractured ankle. When you miss out on 500, 600 plate appearances, it's going to take you a bit to get going. He hit 7 home runs in spring training. People were talking 30-30. I don't know yet. So far, it's not looking very good. So if a lineup position doesn't do the trick, and benching him seems out of the question because the Pirates manager said he's essentially not going to figure it out by getting multiple days off right now. So they don't have any other options. He's going to have to work through this slump and in-game reps. And you as a fantasy managers, you're going to have to make some decisions. I'm not panicking on him, but bench him if you need to, but he's a hold.
Sure. You know, and him hitting the ball hard has never been in question. He has the hardest hit ball in the Statcast era a couple, 2-3 years ago, but hitting the ball hard doesn't matter if you're just beating that shit into the ground.
Yeah.
You talked about his bottom 1% K rate. The dude leads the National League with 37 strikeouts and just 5 extra base hits on the year. He'd gone hitless in 7 of his last 10 games, though 2 were multi-hit efforts. I'm with you. I'm going to set his ass on the bench while he figures it out. The talent is there. You've got to let him work through it. You've got to figure out how to get yourself out of a slump at the major league level if you want to play at the major league level.
Yeah.
So, growing up a Tigers fan, I always hated the Yankees, and I will now take this opportunity to shit on one of them, and I will start with Gleyber Torres. Right now he is outside the top 30 at second base, averaging less than 2 points per game. Just terrible. He's got a triple slash of 193, 299, 217, 516 OPS. Not good. No home runs. Not good. 2 RBIs. No, not good. 2 doubles. Still not good. He scored 12 runs. He's walked 11 times, struck out 26. He does have 3 stolen bases. I'll take that. He was the number 6 second baseman off the board in draft season. Had an ADP of 80. No, he ain't living up to that. He's got 2 hits in his last 6 games with 9 strikeouts. The 11.2 walk rate is very nice. The 26.5% strikeout rate, not so much. He's not really making that great of hard contact, just 32% hard hit rate. An EV at 89.3, which, yeah, it's a little above average, but not by a whole hell of a lot. A 108.9 max EV, sure, that's nice, that's fine. He's got a 276 BABIP, which is about 25 points off his career average. So when we look at his 193 average, understand, yeah, there's some bad luck, but not a whole hell of a lot. No. You know, he's got a 3.4% barrel rate, chase rate, outstanding, right? 19.1%. He's got a 30.6% whiff rate, which is up almost 9% from last season. He's somebody else who's getting under a lot of balls at 35.6%. His launch angle is up 5 degrees to 20 degrees, but when you're not hitting the ball especially hard, that's a lot of lazy fly balls.
Yeah.
He's got a fly ball rate up to 44.8% and an infield fly ball rate of 19.2%. That's just terrible. If you're popping that shit up in the infield, you ain't good to anybody. I think he's going to improve as the season goes on. I do like the lineup and the run production opportunity. He's just not getting it done right now. Bench his ass if you need to. If you drop him, I can't say that I would blame you. A lot of that is just going to depend on how big your league is and what options you got available on the wire.
You mentioned his lazy fly balls. He's still searching for his first home run of the season. And if you stretch it back to the end of last year, he's not cleared the fence in 42 consecutive games. So
in a row.
I like to think. Yeah, in a row. I'd like to think he's going to turn it around. He's a free agent to be, so I think it's pretty damn critical that he get going. Spring training, he was hot. He batted .356, 3 homers, 7 RBIs in 17 games, but he's just mostly struggled. He's freaking struggled ever since. He batted lead off the first 12 games of the season. Now he's batting 6. He had a couple games in the 5 hole as well. I don't know if that was more him or more Anthony Volpe Hot start was a key factor. But I think he's still a hold, in my opinion. He was great last year. He had a good start in 2023, but started very slow in April of 22, and finished with 24 homers, 70 plus runs and RBIs, and a 761 OPS. So I'm leaning towards a be patient, but I mean, if you can get better options out there, I mean, if I don't, Jordan Westberg's sitting there for some reason in your league, which he just was last week in mine, maybe you grab him and drop Torres, or bench him at least. But I'm leaning towards a little bit patience.
I can dig it, man. I can dig it. Hey, at least he had that nice spring, you know, hitting well off dudes who are answering phones for Geico right now.
All right. You want to shit on another Yankee?
Yes.
Let's do it. All right. We got Carlos Rodon, starting pitcher for the New York Yankees, with his just excellent full mustache. That's the only compliment that I'm going to pay him tonight. He's got 53 fantasy points. He's just averaging 10.6 points per start. I got him as the number, he's like number 59 in starting pitching in fantasy right now. Started 5 games, 1-1, 26 and 2/3 innings pitched. ERA looks good at 2.70. Whips a tick high at 1.35. 13 walks and 22 Ks. And probably his best start so far on Monday in a no decision. He just allowed 1 hit, 2 walks over 7 scoreless, and struck out 4. Versus Oakland. Got a quality start out of it. If your league gets points for that, cool. But the fact is that the Oakland lineup is filled with a bunch of quadruple A players. I think it makes it easier to be somewhat skeptical of Rodon's performance, since the A's have scored more runs than only the Chicago White Sox. So he threw 92 pitches in that game on Monday, threw first pitch strikes to only 9 of the 25 batters he's faced. So the control issues continue. It was his 5th consecutive start with multiple walks. The first pitch strikes really stand out to me. He's 6.5% lower than his career norm and a full 10.5% lower than MLB average. You got to get ahead in the count to be successful. Therefore, theoretically, lowering his fucking walks. He's at an 11.3 walk rate, bottom 30% of the league. The K rate, bottom 30% of the league. Ground ball rate, bottom 24% of the league. Hard hit rate, slightly below league average at 38.5%. Average exit velo's at 89, bottom 40%. Worth noting, he was in the bottom 2% of the league last season in average exit velo. So, bottom 25% or worse in both chase and whiff rate. However, I mentioned that ERA of 2.70. It suggests that he can be effective when he's on his game. He just hasn't been on his game every start except for one. He's still a hold for me. Look at your matchups carefully, you know, with him. I'm not rolling him out against the Braves, Rangers, or Dodgers probably. This is a guy 2 years ago that went 14-8, had 237 strikeouts, a 2.88 ERA, and a 1.03 whip. I think he's still a solid starter rest of season, as long as the walks come down.
So, by solid starter, to me, he is an SP5, an SP6, something like that. He is the back end of my fantasy rotation. You're right. Sure. He looked good against Oakland. Congratulations. Here's your cookie. I hope you enjoy it. He's not been as efficient as you'd like. He's only throwing 63% strikes, and that 2.70 ERA, there's a lot of luck in there. He's got a 4.19 FIP, a 5.10 XFIP. And for those that don't know, the difference is XFIP takes league average home run to fly ball rate and uses that as opposed to a pitcher's own, which they do in FIP. He's got an 85.2% strand rate, right? 15% over roughly league average. That means only 15% of dudes are coming around to score when they get on base. That ain't going to hold up for the whole season. And he's got an 18.9% infield fly ball rate. You are not going to survive by trying to induce a bunch of pop-ups on the infield. That shit ain't going to work. The swing and miss is no longer what it once was with this guy. He's getting a good amount of drop on his pitches, but not as much horizontal movement as he used to. And like we were talking earlier with Hunter Brown, if I've only got to track the drop on that pitch and I don't have to move, watch it move from side to side, it's going to make it easier to hit. Rodon, I'm not going to bench him, but he's not somebody I'm looking to acquire either. If I got him, it's just kind of, you know, all right, let me adjust my expectations for what he is. And, you know, look, we warned you about him in the preseason. We warned you about him in the spring. This is who this dude is. If you kind of disregarded what we said, now those dudes don't know what the hell they're talking about. Well, you know, here you go.
Yeah. Cause yeah, we're right on everything 100%, you know, right?
Well, we bring up the shit that we're right about. That's how this show works.
That's right.
All right. So we got a couple more folks to talk about here. We're going to plow on through. First one is Max Fried of the Atlanta Braves. If you drafted him, you're definitely not getting what you're expecting. Almost out of the top 150 starting pitchers, he's only got 38 points, just depending on your scoring. He started four games. He's 1-0 with a 7.71 ERA, a 5.14 FIP, a 4.38 xFIP, 9 walks, just 12 strikeouts, 2 home runs allowed, right? He ain't doing that great. Just an 8.4% swinging strike rate, a full 3% off of his career average. But he is doing an outstanding job of limiting hard contact. Just a 29.3% hard hit rate, an 84.8 mile an hour exit velocity. Max EV, 114.4. It shit happens. Somebody gets a hold of it and cranks one. You know, it happens to everybody. And just a 6.9% barrel rate. He's got a solid 5 pitches. He's getting a nice swing and miss on his sweeper and curve. Both of those are over 30% whiff rate. He changed. There's a slight change in his pitch deployment. He added a cutter that he's using sparingly. Four seamer and curve usage is down in favor of the sweeper. He took about 10% combined from the two of those, he's using giving it to his sweeper now. Dude's just throwing 59% of his pitches for strikes. You're not going to have success if you can't find a strike zone. He's given up 3 earned runs or more in 3 of his 4 starts, and he's failed to go more than 5 innings in 3 of 4 starts. His strand rate is terribly low at just 59.6%. 6.6 strikeouts per 9 innings is not going to work. Over his career, he's just under 9. I expect that to improve. And he's somebody else who's struggling to get ahead early in the count, just a 55% first pitch strike rate. And his whiff rate's at a career low, 22.5%. At the end of the day, I think he's going to be fine. He's got a great chance to get wins down there in Atlanta. He's going to get a boatload of run support. Yeah, he's not giving you what you've expected or what you hope for to this point. He'll be all right. If you can buy low, I'm absolutely do it.
Sure. Yeah, he's actually pitching currently right now versus the Marlins. He's 3 innings pitch, 1 hit, and 2 Ks so far. 27 pitches, 20 of them for strikes. So you like to see that. His reliability in fantasy lineups is becoming increasingly questionable, right? I haven't really lost faith in him, but I'm going to start if he doesn't start showing us something. So definitely not what you paid for. I think he was the 19th pitcher drafted overall on average. So we'll see. Like you said, Atlanta, good opportunity for wins, but hopefully he can right the ship. And all right, one more. No, geez, we're way behind, Matt. Jeez. All right, we talk about Reds a lot too. So next one up is Christian Encarnacion Strand with the Reds, first baseman. He's got 37 fantasy points right now, 1.9 points per game. Currently the 36th first baseman in fantasy. Ugh, that's ugly. Yesterday versus the Phillies, 1 single in 3 plate appearances and a strikeout. Good. 20 games so far this year, 16 hits and 87 plate appearances. 5 doubles, I like that. 2 homers, 14 ribbies, 8 runs, 1 walk, 26 Ks. He's just slashing 190, 195, 321 with a 517 OPS with a minuscule, just I had to refresh the page, 0.1% walk rate. It should be no surprise that he is in the bottom 1% of the league. He's got a bad 29.9% strikeout rate, bottom 16% of the league. And right in line with a lot of starters who strike out too much, his chase rate, bottom 3%, whiff rate, bottom 29%. That is not good, folks. BABIP's very low at 241. That's about 50 points less than average. He's beating the shit out of the ball. Unfortunately, he's hitting it right at defenders. Matt is all frozen up. I hope that he's still there. I have no idea. Am I talking to anybody? Nope. He's coming back. Or maybe it's me. I don't know.
That's me.
All right. So I mentioned he's beating the crap out of the ball. It's just getting hit right to the defenders. His average exit velo and barrel rate are top 24% in the league of league hitters, and his max exit 113 is in the top 5%. Hard hit rate top 34% of hitters. However, it is down a bit from last year, over 5%. Expected slugging is just great. He's at a 512. It's top 13% in the league. He's got those five doubles this year. So, you know, hitters are able to influence exit velocity and launch angle. They just don't have any control what happens to once the ball is put in play, hence the low BABIP. Looking at his batted ball profile, he's hitting way more ground balls than last season and less line drives than last season. He's swinging at more pitches out of the zone and less pitches in the zone than last year. Now he's shown in the past he can flat out rake. I've seen him doing it. He just needs to hit the ball where defenders aren't. He's a hold for me. Keep on the bench if necessary. Look, he still plays half his games in Cincinnati, so I think he'll figure it out.
Yeah, having just one walk sucks. Not gonna lie. We knew his strikeout rate was gonna be high. He's got a healthy barrel rate. He's struck out in all but two games, bottom 3% in chase rate. And I was having some technical difficulties. It's raining here. And apparently, you know, that means my internet's going to suck for a moment. You have to remember, though, he had fewer than 20 big league played or fewer than 250 big league plate appearances coming into the season. He's a young dude. He's still, figuring stuff out. And it's hard to figure it out at the major league level, but that's a team with a ton of talent. There's going to be plenty of opportunity for run production there for him. So I think he's a hold as well. We got one more to go.
Well, one more of these players, then we still have some injuries.
So I love talking about pitchers. We're going to talk about Joe Musgrove of the San Diego Padres. So far, he's been a low to mid-end SP3 for you, and that's roughly where you drafted him. But part of that is buoyed by the fact that he has more starts than anybody else. He started six games. He's 3-2 with a 5.41 ERA, a 5.41 FIP, and a 4.86 xFIP. He's got a whip of a little over 1.5. He's allowed 37 hits, which is the most in the National League. He struck out 23, walked 11, given up 5 home runs, and he's also hit 6 dudes. He's allowed 4 more earned runs in half of his starts, along with going fewer than 6 innings. Over his last 3 starts, he's given up 10 earned runs, struck out 11, walked 7, given up 4 home runs, and that's across just 17 innings pitched. His hard contact right now is right around league average. His 6.6 K per nine, though, is over 2 below his career average. The 10.6 hits per nine is rough. And 3.2 walks per nine, it's fine, a little higher than I want. I generally want somebody who's, below 3, but 3.2 isn't terrible. He added a sweeper this year. Has been pretty effective, just a 182 average against, 33.3% whiff rate. And it's getting almost 16% usage at the expense of his slider and changeup. His fly ball and line drive rates are up, and the ground ball rate is down by 8%. He gets a lot of movement on his pitches along both planes, which is great. In terms of plate discipline, he's pretty much a league average guy. He's getting plenty of run support, though. It's 6 runs per game. I like him better in points leagues than I do in Roto just because he's somebody who can be an absolute innings eater for you.
I mean, he's really been nothing but excellent through the first 3 seasons there in San Diego, through over 450 innings there, between 21 and 23. He's went 31-19 with a 3.05 ERA. So maybe his reliability right now is questionable, but I think you should be cautious. Consider matchups. He's a hold for me. I don't mind him.
No, you're getting roughly what you expected. Just you're disappointed with the result stats that you got there.
Exactly. All right. We wanted to run down a few injuries here of note. First one is Anthony Rendon with the Los Angeles Angels. Been placed on the 10-day DL with a left hamstring strain. He's out until at least May 1st. Hamstrings can be very tricky. He suffered the injury, legging out a single on the very first play of Saturday's game against the Reds. He's been kind of struggling too. It's not horrible. 267, 325, 307 slash. The slugging's not very desirable, but 0 homers this year, only 3 extra base hits and 3 RBIs. He began the season with an ugly 0-21 stretch, but he had been hitting very well lately in his last 14 games, 357, 413, 411. Sucks getting hurt it looks like he was starting to heat up. So I know he's frustrated, but so watch out for him. Hopefully he'll be back sooner than later.
Yeah, he should be accustomed to getting hurt by now because he's not really done shit this decade because of injuries. You know, Miguel Sano takes over at the hot corner, and he's somebody who can absolutely smoke the ball. We got Loud Boy in the chat, Matt, looking like Max Headroom. That is a name that I have not heard in a long damn time, brother. A blast from the past. We'll blame AT&T for these internet issues and with losing the data of like 70 million people. Next up, we are talking about Merrill Kelly, and he is somebody we were high on coming into the season. He has a teres major strain, and that is an upper back muscle just under the shoulder blade. Connects the lower body, the upper body, to allow force transfer that ultimately leads to arm speed and velocity. So this is something that's pretty important.
Pretty important.
Yes, this is the injury that ended Max Scherzer's season last year. Tommy Henry is going to be the likely replacement. You say, well, damn, didn't he just get optioned down? Yes, he did. And typically players, after being optioned, have to spend 15 days down in the minors unless they're being recalled for injury. And I don't want any part of Tommy Henry.
No, absolutely not. Next one, catcher for the Mets, Francisco Alvarez, left Friday night's game after jamming his thumb in the second inning when he put his hand down to try and keep his balance when he was coming around first. He tore a ligament in his left thumb, will need surgery. Looking like a 6 to 8 weeks time missed to be out until at least June 15th. Hasn't been doing too bad, slashing 236, 288, 364, just 4 walks, 14 Ks, and 59 plate appearance. But big miss there. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say he's not a top tier guy, but he's definitely a legit starter in fantasy, and you hate to see it happen, especially to the young dudes.
Sure.
So I got one more to talk about. Pete Fairbanks, reliever / closer for the Tampa Bay Rays. He's got some nerve-related issues. He's experienced some numbness in his fingers at various points over the past couple of years. No real telling how long he's going to be out. They thought that, you know, they would give him a little bit of treatment on Saturday, be fine Sunday. That's not the case. The Rays are going to be a closer by committee for the time being until somebody comes back. And quite frankly, Pete wasn't really looking all that great even while he was in. So, you know, there's a chance that this issue had been affecting him for longer than what we've known. And he's been trying to pitch through it. Best of luck to him. Hope to see you back soon, Pete. Not that you're on my team, but still, injuries suck.
Yep. And one more, Tristan Casas, first baseman with the Boston Red Sox. It was originally a left rib strain, but it came out this afternoon that he had the MRI and it's actually a rib fracture. So currently on the 10-day IL, he's out until at least May 1st. That's more than likely going to go longer. You really need that to, swing and throw balls and stuff. So they were called a guy from AAA. They're going to, most likely rotate multiple players at first base. Don't worry, none of them are fantasy relevant players. So we'll see. Be rough.
Yeah. I saw Bobby Dalbec is probably going to get some playing time there at first. He is 1 for 30 this year. So excellent. Yeah, that's a big asshole in their lineup. And Casas is somebody who a lot of people were really high on coming into the year.
Yep. Real quick, I know we're over here, the standings for the podcast listener league, we're through 3 weeks now. 3-0, baby. 3-0 right here. Got the most points scored. Matt's sitting at fifth place at 1-2. Kip got his first win, or sorry, Supersonic got his first win this past week. He's 1-2, and Mighty Muscles 2-1. Good job, Dubo, hanging in there. So love it. Excited for this week.
Yes, sir.
All right.
That's going to wrap it up for today. Appreciate everybody stopping by. If you haven't already, throw a like and subscribe out there. It would mean the world to us. Doesn't cost you anything. And I promise the internet issues are not always present. It's just sprinkling outside or whatever. So we will be back on Thursday, not live, because I will be in transit to Michigan. We will have our two-star pitcher video. It'll be live right there, It'll go live at 7 o'clock, our usual time. It's going to be fun.
Heck yeah.
And looking forward to a weekend up in Michigan.
Oh, yeah. Have a good night, folks. Stay stoned.
See ya.